Glory to God. You know, if you'll begin to do that at home, and then, of course, bring it into the church with you, you know, he'll start to speak to you. Praise God. You know, I've found, and we'll find this as we get into more of corporate prayer and praying together, that when my heart is towards him, and you know, it's okay to pray about things you need and things like that, but I mean, that shouldn't be all our prayers about. You know, like Brother Hagin said, praying like, my, you know, my name's Jimmy, I'll take all you can give me, right? That's just, Lord, just what you know, give, Lord, give to me. No. We ought to be praising God, worshiping God, praying for others, praying at the plan of God. But here's what I was going to say, is that people that will avail themselves those kind of things that maybe might not seem like a personal benefit, even though there is personal benefit every time you pray to him, no matter what you're praying about and worshiping, you'll find that God will speak to you in those times about your own life. I can't tell you how many times in corporate prayer with my pastor, or been praying for somebody else's situation, that I got the answer to my problem. You know, maybe it's just because you're being selfless, right? And you're seeking God and you're passionate about somebody else and passionate about God that he can get that answer over to you. Because maybe, just maybe, we're too consumed with ourselves sometimes and we don't hear the answer. I don't know, but it just seems a lot of times. So begin to worship him, excuse me, at home and different things, and just bring the presence of God in your home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, are you excited about the Word tonight? Amen. I sure am. Let's open our Bibles out of 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Praise God. And we'll pray and believe God for utterance. Father, we're so blessed tonight. We're so thankful for the Word. We're so thankful for all you've done, all that you've given. Father, help us tonight. Such faithful people that would come out, Lord, with so much to do in life and so much going on. And maybe they've worked all day long and it's been a long day, but they came out to hear the Word. So, Father, bless them. I know the Word will bless them, but, Father, give them something special tonight. Speak to their heart. Give them an answer or direction going forward that will bring about change and increase. And we'll just thank you for it. You're the one that does it, Father. We're just willing vessels trying to be a blessing. And so we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, before we get into the message, I want to encourage us with something. You know, Jesus said, we don't have to turn there, but in John chapter 21, it's interesting, Jesus said to Peter three times, he said, Peter, do you love me? And all three times, Peter said, Lord, you basically, you know that I do. You know, the third time, Peter could tell he was getting kind of perturbed with Jesus, like, come on, you know I love you, like, I'd die for you. And Jesus' response each time was the same. It was, then feed my sheep, right? So Jesus is interested in his sheep being fed. But what I want you to see is not only is he interested in the sheep being fed, it's not bad to be called a sheep. Jesus calls you a sheep, right? It's not a derogatory thing. And so I want to make sure that people know that Jesus called people, that he wasn't talking about, Peter, if you love me, you know I got a farm out back, make sure my sheep get fed. No, he's talking about people. And he was saying that it was important. And so when you're referred to as sheep, don't take that is being wrong. Even though I stand in the office of a pastor, I also stand in the office of a sheep because I have a pastor. I'm not a pastor to my pastor. I'm a sheep to my pastor. So we're all just sheep bod in the pasture. Praise God. Amen. That's what we're doing. And so it's not a bad thing. But what I want you to see real quick as we go forward, and this was just really kind of laid on my heart to make sure to share this, that, you know, a sheep's diet is pretty much the same thing all the time, you know. It might be a different varieties of, you know, there's hay, but there's different varieties of grass, maybe, you know, alfalfa, clover, grasses, different things like that. But, you know, a sheep's diet really doesn't vary too much, right? And, you know, and the shepherd knows that, the caretaker of the sheep. It's all of a sudden the caretaker will, you know, take them to something completely different that they've never ate before. You know, how many of that could mess up their digestive system and might not be as healthy or what they want to eat or anything like that. But also I know this, that sheep, when they go out to eat, and I'm not liking you to a dog because, you know, I'm a sheep too, so I'm not saying we're dogs. But, you know, my dogs, they eat the same thing every single day. Every single day, two times a day, I give them a cup of the same food. Morning, evening, morning, evening. You know what they don't do when they run up to that bowl? Oh, this again? I'm not going to eat that. No. Scarf it down. And sheep are the same way. They don't go out to the pasture that they've been there over and over again. Or, you know, they get hay or whatever, you know, and they'll say, this again? No, they understand this is what I need. This is good to me, right? And I say that because a lot of the stuff that we share is along the lines of the same things over and over and over again. And it's by design. God designed it that way, right? The Bible really isn't that difficult. There's some things in there that might be confusing in the Old Testament and Revelation if you don't study it, really in depth. But a lot of the principles all revolve around the same types of things. Why? Because we're sheep. And we don't need a whole wide variety of a diet, right? And the manual or the food never changes. Oh, I was so mad they changed my... I give my dog Purina Pro Plan, Wrigley. It's ages 7 and adult. And I give... And they change the food, and it makes me so mad when they do that, you know? I just like the same things. You don't want to give the same thing. And the diet never changes. And so it's important that we make sure that we never get... unthrilled with the word. That the word is always thrilling. You know, that bulldog, I mean, you should see my dogs when they eat it. The tails are just a-going, scarfing it down, food's flying everywhere. Why? Because they're pumped to eat that. They're excited, right? Oh, not that. No. We got to make sure that we, because a lot of these things that we're hearing is because they're by designed over and over again. You know, the reason we have growth in our services and the reason that we have growth on our Wednesday night from maybe 2 or 3 people in the other building is because I've said it over and over and over and told you the importance of being in church, told you the importance of hearing it. And you know, I've learned you can't expect a harvest where you don't plant a seed, right? And if you can't expect the harvest of church attendance and people to be faithful until you plant that seed of faithfulness. So we just hammered on it, and look, it's growing, right? And it's growing on Sundays. And not only growing in the fact that new people coming, but growing in the strength of what we already have, of people getting more faithful and getting more strong. So praise the Lord, it's by design, so we need to make sure that we understand that. But 1 Timothy 4, in verse 8, now, your mind and your flesh might not be filled with this over and over again, but that's okay. Who are they? We don't listen to those anyways. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 8, I want to read this in the King James verse. It says, "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and that which is to come." Now, we don't have to pull that up in the Amplified, but it would say this. It would say, the bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness, but then if you look at that word, it means spiritual training. Spiritual training profits to all things, right? And it has promise of life that is now and that which is to come. So our spiritual training is good for now and for then. And so we need to be spiritually trained. And we started last week to look at spiritual disciplines. So we want revival, right? We want to be a church that is reaching outside of these walls in this community. We want to be strengthened. I can't do it by myself. We're going to need strong soldiers, right? Going out there and doing it. But if we're not built up, we're not trained, and we're not strong, we ain't going to be helping too many people. Usually the people that need the help are the weak and the hurting ones, right? And the ones that need the help usually are not the ones doling out the help. And so we want to make sure that we're strong and we're strengthened and we're ready to go so that we can go out and be a big blessing to people. Well, we'll never do that if we're not spiritually strong. If we don't have spiritual disciplines, we'll never get revival. You know, revival is always characterized by people that are hungry for God. And in that book, Brother Hagin has the 3 stages of what it's like to grow up in Christ. And one of the characteristics of the 3rd stage of manhood is that you esteem earthly things lightly, that natural things do not compare to the spiritual things. That you are more excited about the spiritual things, which would be the word, which would be praying, which would be seeking God. That's a characteristic of being an adult in Christ, and that's the people that God can truly, really use to change nations. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we need that, but we remind you this, and this will help you real quick. Galatians 5 and verse 17, just this is the last bit of review we'll have, and then we'll go forward, but we wanted to remind you of this when it comes to spiritual training and spiritual disciplines, that you are not going to feel like doing it. And that's okay to have those feelings. That don't feel like, oh, I'm a horrible Christian, and don't alienate yourself in your own mind thinking, what is wrong with me? I'm not fired up to go to church maybe today. I'm not, you know, it would seem like a whole lot more fun to kick back with a bowl of popcorn and watch TV than go to church. Or, you know, I just don't feel like getting in the Word today. I would much rather read my you know, secular book that it just seems more exciting. You're going to feel that those ways, and that's okay. Or, you know, I'd rather do something, a hobby, and rather than spend time praying for the plan of God and seeking God for my life. And the Bible tells us that that's going to happen. It says the flesh, Galatians 5:17, lust or wars against the spirit. and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See, we have to get to a place where the inward man becomes bigger than the outward man. Because for most Christians, the inward man is little teeny little guy, and the outward man is loud and big and strong and gets all the attention, gets all the coddling, gets all the petting, you know, and the inward man gets hardly any attention at all. And we need to live from the inside out. That's where the blessing will come. If we live, because that's where our answers are from. Every answer that you need comes from within, not from without. You know, there's natural things that you don't need to seek God on for answers. You know, what kind of gas do I put? You know, what can I eat? Things like that. But big decisions in life, they all come from within. And the bigger you are on the inside, the more real God will be, the more easy it will be to hear His voice. And the way we're going to become bigger on the inside is by giving the inside more attention. How does somebody get bigger on the outside? What do? They give attention to the outside, right? Maybe they're just getting bigger by eating a lot, or maybe they're getting bigger by going to the gym or something. But how do? That? They give attention to that thing. Well, if you want to give the spirit man, you want to get the spirit man big and strong, you're going to have to give attention to it. You're going to have to work in those areas. Hallelujah. And we'll never see the revival that we want to see. And our communities and the people around us changing if we're small spiritually. I just don't know of anybody that really did anything for God that was small spiritually. They all had the same characteristics. They were hungry. They were chasing after. They were going for it, man. They were going for it, right? And maybe this isn't something that we would, you know, maybe we're taking it up a notch on a Wednesday night. Maybe because, you know, people that come out on a Wednesday night, you know, it's something extra and they're able to do that. And, you know, a lot, it does take a little extra to get here. And I know some people just can't be here on a Wednesday, but, you know, it's easier, it seems, to come to church on a Sunday because that's just normally what everyone does. And so maybe we take it up a little notch on a Wednesday because maybe people can handle a little more. I don't know the case, but it seems to be a little bit of a different flow on Wednesday nights. And so I say that to people that are, I think, willing to hear this, that if we're going to do anything for God, we got to step some things up. Absolutely we do. I mean, when you talk about Brother Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, Pastor Nancy LaFrance, Mariah Woodworth Etter, Sister Amy Simple McPherson, all these mighty, you know, men and women of God, Lester Sumrall, that went before, the main characteristics in their lives wasn't their hobbies, wasn't their natural job, it was they were sold out to God. Right? Hallelujah. And so, you know, we're just trying to bring you up to a higher level from where you are now. It doesn't mean you have to try to reach Kenneth Hagin's status or Wigglesworth or Nancy DeFray. No, it just means we're trying to bring you up higher from where you are to be a bigger influence and blessing. Amen? Do you understand that? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. We talk about spiritual disciplines. The main two spiritual disciplines that we will have to master and spend time giving ourselves to, and really giving yourself to it is really a good way to say that, because it is a sacrifice, it is a consecration, it is a giving of oneself to it, is the word in prayer. That's our main two, and even in the disciples, they said, when it came to about taking care of the widows that were being neglected in the daily ministration, the Bible says in Acts, it says that they were waiting on the tables and serving them. He said, it's not right that we do that. He said, we are going to give ourselves continually to the Word of God in prayer. So even the ministers, he was pointing out, the main thing that a minister will do, see, I do other things, you know, business-wise, take care of things, you know, appointments with people and things like that, and helping people. But my main job description is word and prayer. Why? Because they're the main two things that will get me stronger to get you stronger. And that's the main two things that are going to get you strong is word and prayer. Two things that your flesh and your mind are not going to naturally want to do. Have you been there? Am I the only carnal one here? You already have your new bodies. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Man, I tell you, eating a pizza and watching a movie, I would much rather pray for 3 hours than watch TV and a movie. I mean, if that's you, my God, tell me your secret. I want to know what it is. Enlighten me what it is that you just feel like doing that. I've met very few people that just naturally are geared that way. There are some that would, Dolly would, if it was up to them, they'd just pray all day long. I'm like, man, I wish I had that anointing, but I don't. I have to put my flesh under. And so do you. Amen. We're all in the same boat here. So Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but he answered Jesus. He didn't answer Jesus. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So you do need bread to live. We know that. But he said, that's not the only thing you need to live. But, you could say this way, they will live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, which would be what? The Word of God. Now, it's interesting, that word live in verse 4, in the Greek it means to enjoy life, enjoy real life, to have a true and worthy life, and to have a blessed life. So you could say it this way, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not truly enjoy real life, not have a true and worthy life or a true blessed life by bread alone, but that will be accomplished by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you want to get into that real life, or you could say it this way, that Zoe, God kind of life, the word is going to have to be a main staple in your life to accomplish that. Well, if we are living, blessed, true life, worthy, acceptable life, a blessed life, that's going to mean blessing for other people. That's going to be the kind of person that's actually out doing things for God. Amen? That's what we're trying to be. We're trying to be conductors of God's power. In the Amplified, it says, man shall not be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you could say it this way, take away the every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and man is not upheld and not sustained, and man will struggle. It's true. Praise God. And I'm going to bring it out even in more depth tonight to you about this, because Jesus here likens the Word of God to natural food, doesn't he? And the Bible does that a lot, uses, you know, natural examples to illustrate spiritual examples, you know, sowing and reaping. We see natural agricultural examples that Jesus would use, or the Word would use, to illustrate in our finances. One that I want you to see is, we'll turn there, is 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. He uses natural growth in comparison to spiritual growth, and he does that with a lot of things. And you know, I think he does that because it makes it easy to see that way. It gives us examples of what we can look at. But 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, you'll see this, and it goes along with what we're saying tonight, how he uses a natural example to illustrate a spiritual truth. It says, as newborn babes, that's a natural thing, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So he's saying, natural babies, how do they grow? By milk, right? And then he says, as spiritual beings, you need to desire the milk of the word in order to grow. So he's using a natural example to illustrate a spiritual truth, but even to take that a little bit further and talking about how the word is like food, think about the only thing that will cause a child to grow. You can't give a newborn baby a steak. You can't give a newborn baby corn on the cob, right? Or even cereal right off the bat. No matter how watered down, what is the only thing? Milk or formula, right? That's the only thing that's going to cause that child to be healthy, cause that child to grow. And the Bible says, as newborn babes liken you to that, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So you take away the word, you take away your growth. If you just, and think about what would stunt a child's growth, or would stunt a child from gaining weight and growing at a proper, whatever on the scale of what they should be for the certain age. If you withheld the milk or the formula, right, it would cause that baby to be hungry, lose weight, and not grow properly. Same thing spiritually. If the milk of the word is withheld from you, if you don't have a steady, consistent feeding of it, spiritually you'll never grow. And the way you're going to dominate in life is when the inward man gets humongous, big, and strong, and built up. Yeah, absolutely. But it won't happen without the Word. It doesn't tell you anything else. It doesn't say church attendance. Now, church attendance is good when you hear the Word and you're doing the Word. That includes it. But just being a good person won't do it. And, you know, just being generous in the offering won't do it. You need the Word of God in your life. You know, I think about when Caleb was a little baby. And for some reason, it's probably because even though Abby is, her time was not that far ago, compared to when Caleb's time was a little baby, I remember more about Caleb's probably because I was the one doing it for the first 2 years. But man, it was like every 2 or 3 hours, he needed to eat, right? And if I didn't feed him, not only would he fuss and, you know, be upset, but he wouldn't have grown properly. You know, it was like on a schedule. Every 2-3 hours, you know, you got to get him more nutrients, more sustenance for him to grow. And, you know, and the Lord likens that in this verse and also Matthew chapter 4, he likens the word to food. So it would not be out of place or wrong to take a look at some things concerning food in our natural body and equate that to a spiritual truth, would it? No, it wouldn't. It would not be a wrong thing to do. So I want to show you some things here tonight. And again, I'm not trying to be, crude's not the word, but I'm not trying to be, make people feel uncomfortable here tonight. But I'm just going to read some things. I have some articles here pulled up that I want to read off of my iPad here about what happens to a person's body when they don't eat naturally. Now, we might know off the surface, you know, you get cranky, you might get a headache or whatever, but I want to show you physically what the medical field says happens to a person's body when you don't eat naturally. Because Jesus likened you eating spiritually to eating naturally and growing spiritually, how a baby grows naturally. This is your food. What happens when you take this out of your life or you only get a little bit of this? You're going to see what happens naturally. What happens? Let me just show you some things here. Now, this is one article that I pulled up about what happens when you go just one day not eating anything. And I would probably, now, I'm not trying to be mean or, you know, put the congregation down. I would be surprised if there, unless you weren't feeling well, I would be surprised if there's many of us in here that have gone 24 straight hours any time in the recent times that you can remember that you weren't sick, that you didn't put something in your mouth. Probably, right? That's normal. I mean, that's not saying, oh, I'm so stupid for eating. No, you're supposed to eat, right? It's good to eat. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying you bad. Same for me. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, you don't fast? I don't fast for 24 straight hours unless the Lord instructs me to do so. And I'll tell you why in a second. But I do fast. I fasted before I came here tonight. But it won't be a 24-hour fast. Or maybe if you had a medical procedure, maybe you couldn't eat a day before, whatever. But I'd be safe to say that we probably haven't gone 24 straight hours without eating anything in a long time or if ever when we weren't sick, right? I mean, let's just be honest. But here's what I want to show you. The dangers of not eating just for one day. The natural body. And then think about spiritually what it could do to you. About 20% of your water intake comes from food, and mealtime is when many people consume a significant portion of their daily beverages. Given these factors, dehydration often accompanies not eating for a day. Symptoms of dehydration include dry mouth. Now, these are all just from one day things that happen to you. Dry mouth, reduced urination, dark yellow urine. This is fun to talk about in church, I know. Muscle cramps, in severe cases, dehydration can make you feel dizzy, confused, and cause rapid heartbeat. It's also possible to lose consciousness or go into shock from dehydration. To stay well hydrated, men need about 16 cups of water per day, and women need about 11, including water from food. Fasting for a day, which is just fasting, is just, you know, the abstaining from eating food, is generally an unpleasant experience. This is just one day that causes headaches, heartburn, and constipation. All right. Not eating also affects your mood, and you may grow irritable as your body craves food without calories or energy. You also won't have the fuel you need for optimal mental focus or vigorous physical activities. Therefore, you may be less productive on the job and get less healthy exercise than usual. That's one day of not going with food. Now, again, not trying to belittle the congregation or make you feel bad. There's no condemnation. We just adjust things. Think about your own life. How many times have you gone, Sunday you hear the word, and you don't touch the Bible or the Word of God until next Sunday? And one day, naturally, all that stuff can happen. And the Bible says that food to the natural body, the word is the same to the spiritual body. Right? And that's why we're so big on eating, because we have a revelation. We know what it's like to feel hungry. We know it's not fun to get the headaches. We know it's not fun to feel weak and to get dizzy and to feel uncomfortable. And we know we get irritable when we get hungry, right? I mean, at least I do. I mean, I'm telling you, stay away from me when I'm hungry. No, that's sort of a joke. But that's just one day. That's just one day, but yet the word will sit on our shelves at home. Or what about when you have to miss a week of church? Maybe something came up, or some, you know, emergency, or a job thing, or just you couldn't be there, and you're one of these people that don't touch it, and then you're going weeks and weeks. Well, let's look at what naturally happens to people that way. This is fun, isn't it? Amen. Praise God, I'm having a great time. Now, this was an article about, it was in 2000, let's see here. I'm not exactly sure, but it was a 30,000 inmates in a prison in California started a hunger strike because of something else in a different prison that they were upset about. Maybe, I think it was the way they were getting treated. And so the prison officials were very concerned because they knew they had medical people come in to tell them what are the risks of people doing this. So here's what you're going to see, what happens during a hunger strike that goes beyond a day. It says, most of us are familiar with the pains of going too long without a meal. That's because just after a few hours without food, your body has burned through much of its ready accessible supplies of glycogen, the most plentiful and easy to reach source of energy stored in your body. So the Bible says, after a few hours, your body needs more of the word. Just after a few hours, your body needs more food, right? So after a few hours spiritually, your spirit would need more food. Yeah. Absolutely it would. Yeah. Let's go on here. In these first few days, symptoms are mild, include hunger pains, bad breath, headaches. You know, it's like the person that had the bad breath, and the minister called the people up for a healing line, and this person came up to get healed of bad breath, and the minister went to lay hands on him, and instead of saying, oh, hallelujah, they said, oh, halitosis. That's medical term for bad breath, right? Yeah. I hope. Oh, halitosis. Praise God. At least I think I'm funny. And headaches, a feeling of exhaustion, with hunger pains, strong contractions of the stomach. And then it goes on to say, in the days that follow, the body of a hunger strike begins to break down stores of energy, fat, muscles, essentially cannibalizing itself to survive. This is going without food naturally. I know, it really brings it to light, but it sure shows you some things. Amen. This can't just sit there anymore. This needs to be our life, glory to God. You'll never be blessed and live like God wants you to. And so then it goes on to say this. Once the two-week threshold is passed, so we're talking a short time without food, really. I mean a long time, but short 2 weeks is really not that long in life, right? It is without food, I understand, but it says this. It says, why did I say that? Because 2 weeks isn't a long time for most people to go without the word. Yeah, it just isn't. There's streaks people go weeks and weeks without it. I know because I talk to people. Right. Yeah. I know because I had to repent years ago for just and get myself, you know, and still trying to grow and go up and get places. So I know how it is in life, but boy, you know, naturally we wouldn't accept that. It would be unacceptable. Now again, you think why are we doing this medical things? Because we're bringing out a point. Praise God. So once the two-week threshold has passed, it's a different story. After 2 weeks, the symptoms associated with extreme hunger, dizziness, exhaustion, the inability to stand up, often begin to take their toll in earnest. Muscle atrophy can begin to grow serious at this point. Control over those muscles can be hampered by ataxia, whatever that is, a condition resulting in a jerky walking gait and loss of motor control. Slowed heartbeat, known as bradycardia, is also typical during this period. The sensation of thirst can be dulled, and many strikers report feeling cold constantly. There's also a thiamine deficiency sets in on many hunger strikes, further damaging muscles and often causing vomiting, difficulties with vision. Can cause, after a certain amount of time, 4 weeks without food, can include vertigo, uncontrollable eye movements, double vision. After 6 weeks, the grueling symptoms of hunger strike become life-threatening for most. Higher brain function is severely impaired, rendering victims incoherent and confused much of the time. Hearing loss, blindness have been reported. Hunger strikes who go without food for more than 6 weeks are at risk of death from heart failure, or more rarely a buildup of toxins in the system that can result in sepsis and infection of the blood. So, needless to say, and it goes on to say, starving to death is not a pretty way to go. And notice it's not an overnight process. See, sometimes we think we can get away with it because it's not showing up immediately, but it will. And so we see here, right, that the symptoms of this, I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to get even deeper. And you might think, oh, what a waste of time. Nope, bringing out a point here. People are starving spiritually in the body of Christ. Absolutely starving. You say, well, I go to church. That's not enough. After one day of not having food, natural food, something happens to your body. You can't go hours without spiritual food. You say, well, you don't understand my job. I'm like, I'm going to help you with all that. Chill out. Don't be so mad at me. What's the condition that is associated with not eating? It's called anorexia, right? Now, let me just say this. If you are, or if you have struggled in the past, I don't know of anyone off the top of my head in here, so I'm not saying that to help that person. I really don't know. If you are or you have struggled with an eating disorder in the past, please know me mentioning it is not belittling it, making fun of it. Or, you know, one time, this honestly happened to me. I said, God is not a bipolar God. And I had a person who had called me 2 weeks before I said that, told me how fabulous and wonderful I was. They had a problem in their life that was just hindering, the devil was hindering them. And I gave them the word, and in 5 minutes they were bawling on the phone how I'd set them free. And 2 weeks later they said, I'm not coming to your church anymore. You mentioned that God's not bipolar. I think that was the rudest thing you ever said. I said, are you serious? We can't be so touchy. I wasn't saying that bipolar is, but I was just saying God's not bipolar. He's not up and down, up and down. That's all I was saying. Just like I say, God's not depressed. God's not an angry God if someone's struggling with anger. I'm never coming again. You mentioned anger. Oh, stop. The devil got in there. So when I'm mentioning this, I'm not, you know, trying to make fun or you know what I mean. But anyways, anorexia, right? The hardly any food at all. And listen to the health consequences of anorexia, which is the absence of food in a person's life. And now again, we're equating all this to spiritual. We've never gone this deep into it. You know, we've said before, well, would you not eat? Would you only eat once a week? And we've left it at that. Now we're really going to look at some consequences to the body and maybe think, man, my poor spirit. You know what I've noticed? And again, this isn't I'm making fun of. People that are actually clinically diagnosed as being anorexic are not strong physical people. Right? It's usually associated with being very frail and very weak. Think about your spirit. When you starve your spirit, yet we're thinking we're going to dominate the devil. Remember, it's all a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The wrestle and the struggle is not in the natural. To be blessed in the natural, the spiritual has to be strong. But how can our spiritual be strong if our spirit man is walking around as anorexics, right? Weak and frail. You know, tons of things that can happen medically because of your immune system and different things. But that's what's happening in a lot of people's spiritual lives. Abnormally slow heart rate, low blood pressure, which mean the heart is changing. The risk for heart failure rises. Reduction of bone density, osteoporosis, which results in dry, brittle bones. Muscle loss and weakness, severe dehydration, which can result in kidney failure. Fainting, fatigue, and overall weakness. Dry hair and skin, hair loss is common. Those are just some of the symptoms. And if you're struggling with an eating disorder, just so you know, there's help for those things. God can deliver you. Please let me know. I'll help you. We'll get you free from that thing. But the truth is, somebody that's going without food is struggling in the natural. They're weak. They're frail. They're susceptible to injury, right? Now think about your spirit. Think about your spirit. And we want the devil off our back. And the devil's our problem. And the fight is with the devil. But we're attacking him, right? Now, here's again, this is not making fun of this. It's just pointing out a fact. We train people in the military, generally a soldier, right? You look at a Navy SEAL who's the best of the best soldiers. What do they look like? Beefy. Right? They are ripped. They are strong, big guys, right? Why? Because the things they're going to have to do are going to require strength. It's going to require energy. We're not sending out people that are struggling with not eating, who are, you know, maybe under 100 pounds and weak and brittle, out into the battle. Why? Because they wouldn't be able to accomplish very much. Do you see the relation here? That if you're spiritually struggling and spiritually starving, and you're number one, you're a prey for the enemy, but number two, you're not going to be able to be used that much in God's army. And this is twofold. We want to be blessed, But we want to be blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
And being a weak, brittle, you know, a starving person, you're not going to be used very much, naturally or spiritually. So we need those things to change, don't we?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good. Praise God. So when you're in the Word or around the Word, now we know that maybe we don't see the results of, like, naturally when you're hungry and you eat and it goes away, you know those results are there. But now we know because Jesus said the Word is like food to our spirits, and Peter said the only way you're going to grow is by the Word spiritually. We know now that when we're in the Word or around the Word, something good is happening to us. Something is being strengthened. The inner man, the real us, the one we're to live out of, is being trained up and strengthened for something. Glory to God. So, to finish off the night, we're going to look at three places in the Word, and then we'll go on from there. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Just want to show you three common things in the Word about the Word of God. Psalms chapter 1 in verse 1. And now, we saw those symptoms back then. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for reminding me of that. You know, I said I don't normally go 24 hours on a fast. Well, here's why. Because of the physical effects on a body, I tend to be a spirit-led faster. Because Brother Hagin, someone that I respect and who, you know, followed God, some people say, oh, I remember one guy got so mad off the church, said, all you do is follow Brother Hagin. Well, I don't follow Brother Hagin. I follow Brother Hagin's teachings, which were the Word of God. I could have asked whose name were on them. And they said, oh, you're just a Brother Hagin honk. You know, you just, I said, well, I'll just be honest with you. I've yet to find anything that wasn't in the Word that he said. I have not found anything in any of his books, any of his sermons, that didn't absolutely come directly from the Word, any revelation he had, any visitation that were the Word. That's why he was so successful. He stuck with the Bible. He stuck with the manual. But he said this. He would go, I think it was 2 or 3 days a week, he would set apart to fast 24 hours a day. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, you know, I'd rather have you live a fasted lifestyle than go long periods without food. Now, it doesn't mean that there won't be times that the Spirit will lead you into that. But I'll tell you what, when you start getting into longer fasts, because the body was constructed to need food, it better be Spirit-led or you could get into trouble. I hear these churches, oh, no, we're going on a 40-day fast, you idiots.
Right.
Did I just say that from the pulpit? Oh, my God, I did. Well, I don't repent for that either. That's idiocy. To say, I know churches. Oh, we're going on a 21-day fast. You better have been led by the Spirit to do that, because naturally things are going to happen to the body. Jesus, they said, well, Jesus fasted for 40 days. Yeah, he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to fast for 40 days. So I don't go on long periods of fasting unless the Holy Ghost would prompt me to do so, because all fasting does, it doesn't change God, it changes you to be able to hear from heaven. And that's why I don't eat before service or on days of service. I eat very, very little. Why? I want to stay sensitive to the Spirit. I don't know about you, but when I tend to eat a lot, I get bogged down, feel kind of lethargic, you know, and lazy. And I don't want to feel that way on a day when I need to hear from heaven and come and minister. But as far as a long period of time, and just so you know this, a fast without praying is just a diet. That's all it is. So I'm going on a fast for God. Well, if you're not praying, it's not a fast, it's just a diet. Because fasting is always accompanied with seeking God and praying. It's for a purpose. Some people fast because, oh, look at me, I'm fasting. You know, they want everybody to know. The Bible says when you're going on a fast, don't even tell anybody. So don't change your countenance. Don't make it appear so everybody knows. And, you know, people think, well, God's just going to do more for me because I'm fasting. No, God already is doing everything he can for you. The fast changes you to hear from him. So hopefully I enlightened you a little bit on fasting. But just so you know, the Bible never instructs us exactly how to fast. It talks of people fasting, but it doesn't ever say, do this. You know, there's no scripture on it. You won't find any. Or we see that it people do it and that we probably should follow after it. But people get in the ditch on that. So that's why I wanted to bring that back up. But anyway, Psalm chapter 1 in verse 1. Says, blessed, that word blessed means happy, fortunate, to be envied. Is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or you could say it this way, the Word of God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Well, when it says he's meditating day and night, what's he doing? He's feeding his spirit day and night. So notice the consistency, or notice the amount that he's doing it. It's all the time, consistently. It's not long spaces where it's not being fed. Why? Because it's like a natural body. You go long times without food, and your body's going to start acting up, start telling you some things. It says that he meditates in his law day and night, and he who, the person that feeds on the word, remember Jesus said, you will live, be blessed, have a true life, an enjoyable life by the word. He, that person that feeds on the word day and night, that eats the word, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now you tell me, I've seen unhealthy trees and I've seen healthy trees. You tell me what the characteristics of this tree, if it points to being healthy or unhealthy. This tree, or this person, shall be like a tree who's been feeding on the word day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Is that a healthy tree or an unhealthy tree? That's a healthy tree. What were the reasons the tree was healthy? Because the person fed on the right things, right? That tree got the right nutrients. That tree got the right sustenance. That tree got the right minerals, vitamins, whatever it needed. And it grew strong. Its leaf didn't wither. It prospered. It was by the tree, by the rivers of living water. The Bible says that's the way you will be. Praise God. If you feed on the right things, you'll be like that tree. Whatever you do will prosper. Your leaf won't wither. Praise God. You'll be strong. That's a picture of a strong, healthy tree.
Hallelujah.
That is not that, you know, it takes quite a storm to uproot a big, healthy, strong tree. Yeah. Right? It does. It takes quite a storm to do that. Hallelujah. That's what I want my life to look like.
Yeah.
But again, I'm just gonna point this out. On the contrary, you can say it this way. He that's delight is not in the law of the Lord and does not meditate on it day and night, right? Just like the natural example, will be the person that's going long spaces of time without food. And what will that do to your natural body? The same thing will do to your spiritual body. You'll be weak. You won't be strong. Your leaf will wither, and you won't prosper in the things that you do. Do you see that there? Praise God. This is why I tell you this stuff over and over and over again, because I want you to get in the Word more and more and more and more and more. Why? Because I want you strong. For your own lives, because I love you, but for the kingdom, because I love Him. Praise God.
Praise God.
You know, I have plenty of things I could say. It's not because, oh, I don't know what to preach. I just kind of go back to everything. No, it's the Spirit led just hammering these things. Hammering these things. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. Be in the Word. So that was number one. Let's go to Joshua 1 and verse 8. These are all the places we've been before. But you know what? We're thrilled to come back to the same bowl of food. Oh, Wrigley and Willow, when I say it's dinner time, oh man, they started hopping up and down the little paws, clicking on the tile floor. Just love it. They can't get enough of it. Praise God. Joshua 1 in verse 8. This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth. Of course, we know that being in this church, right? In that message we saw Sunday, got to get the word in your mouth. I hope you've been applying the word to your problems. I hope you've been taking the word that's a medicine and applying it. What do I mean? Every day, speaking to that problem. It's a financial thing. Give it its medication. If it's a physical thing, give it its medication. Pray. I hope you've been doing that. Don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth. But you, say me, shall meditate therein day and night. There's that day and night thing again. A consistency of being in the word. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then. Everybody say for then.
For then.
Not before then.
Right.
Then. After you're in the Word, meditating in it day and night, then shall you make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. On the contrary, you could say the person that's not in the Word day and night does not make their own way prosperous, and they don't have good success. Why? Liken it back to the natural body.
Good.
You're weak.
Yeah.
You're not strong. And the battle is spiritually. You think your financial problems naturally because it shows up in dollars and on a checkbook. It's not, the problem has not originated or started from the natural. It started in the spiritual.
Yeah.
You spiritually thrive, you'll naturally thrive.
Yeah.
It's true.
That's good.
Because why? Because all sin, poverty, lack, and sickness started from a spiritual place. The first root of it started from sin. Sin is a spiritual thing. Doesn't mean if you're struggling financially or that you're struggling physically that you're in sin, But it originated from a spiritual place. The root of all poverty, the root of all sin, started from a spiritual place back when Adam and Eve missed it. Sin entered into the world. Poverty entered into the world. And that's why Jesus came and undid what the devil did. Died on the cross for your spiritual salvation, for your financial salvation, and for your physical salvation. He said, I'm going to undo what the devil done and kick him right between the teeth. Glory to God. I'm so glad. So the Word, you got to be in it day and night. I love that verse. I bring this out every time, but it's worth saying again. God is not mentioned one time in that verse. Prayer is not mentioned one time in that verse. You having good success and prosperity depends on what you do with the food that you're given. Are you eating it? Are you partaking of it? Day and night. Then you'll have good success. I mean, the Bible was it. This book of law shall have the power of your mouth, one, but you, two, shall meditate day and night, that you, three, may observe to do according to all that is written there, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Six times you're mentioned, zero times God is mentioned. People say, oh, I'm just waiting for God to move. No. God's waiting for you to do something. You know, it's like grandma makes you a great meal for Thanksgiving. And you're sitting there in the living room just griping and complaining, I'm so hungry. Why isn't grandma doing anything about it? And grandma's sitting there like, hey, idiot. We just supposed to be an idiot tonight. Man, I hope Caleb's in bed. I'm serious. That's all he'll be saying tomorrow. He'll be like, idiot. That's what he'll say. He laughs at himself. Buddy, you don't say that. Why'd you say it? You know, buddy, I probably should say I'm sorry for that. We repent, and I've done it. Oh, man. So thank God it's never been a cuss word, but there's been idiots, things like that thrown out there. But I hope he's not listening. 7:35, he's probably not. So anyhow, six times you're mentioned. God's saying, see, people are depending on God for their prosperity and success. And look, he's not even mentioned about your prosperity or success. Like there's nothing in there about him and your prosperity and success. Now we know his word is him. But it's about what you do with what he's already. This is the Thanksgiving dinner. It's laid out on the table.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. You're helping of prosperities here. You're helping of peace is here. Yeah. You're helping of victories here. You're helping of overcoming is here. Are you going to sit down, scoop it up, and eat it? That's not the preparer's fault. It's not grandma's fault if I walk away hungry on Thanksgiving. It's not God's fault if we're not prosperous and have good success. He's given us the key. He's given us the formula.
Amen. That's good. Good work.
And our third reference, Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stop making some adjustments in our lives. I mean, it's good for us. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Now notice this next statement. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. That takes effort. That takes on purpose. The word coming into your ears and into your life does not happen automatically. You did not just wake up and end up in church tonight. You had to put forth effort. Maybe you had to stop what you were doing. Maybe you had to go take a shower and clean up. Maybe you had to put some project that's important in your life on hold to get here. That took effort. You had to drive here, right? You had to get ready, put clothes on, put maybe gas in the vehicle, start up, drive all the way here. You have to drive all the way home. It took effort. Getting in the Word at home, the Word, this food, you know, I know this, that food just doesn't just hop into my mouth. It takes effort. You got to make it. You got to prepare it, right? You got to sit down. You got to eat it. Hallelujah. So it takes effort. You got to do the inclining. You have to do the attendance to the Word, which I'll get back to that in a second. Let them, the Word, not depart from your eyes. There it is again. Don't let the Word depart from your eyes. What's that saying? Being around the Word a lot. It kind of goes along with what Joshua and what it said in Psalms, right? Day and night. Day and night. The Word always there. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So you could say this, take the word away, and there goes the life, and there goes the health. Yep. There goes the good success, there goes the prosperity, there goes being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So there's always a consequence. See, there's always a Godward side and a manward side. God does his part, we need to do our part. And then God does what he said he would do, and we do our part. He can't trump those things, can't trump that order. Now this is what I want you to see. Go back to verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Think about school. What is one thing in school that is stands out and is common is the taking of tests, right? Well, doesn't it just seem, I mean, I know it's for learning and for life, but to me, the way I look, I'm kind of very black and white, sometimes cut and dry. I felt like school was basically, I'm just there to hear what I need to know for the test to get by so that I can just keep going on in life. Like, that just kind of what it felt like. Now, you get out and you accumulated some things, you learned some things, you had some experiences, I get it. But to me, it was like, okay, I'm in this class for a purpose to take a test that I'm going to have to pass if I want to keep progressing. Well, we know there's tests in life. There's pop quizzes in life. There's tests that we know are going to happen in life that the devil's going to pressure. And there's things unexpected, like a pop quiz. Now, how then, if the information we need from the test is being taught in the class, if we're not there in attendance to hear it, and a pop quiz comes up, and all of a sudden, you get a test, and you've missed 2 days of your class, and you didn't take the time to find out what was said or make the effort, when the test comes, you're going to say, I don't know the answer. I didn't know this. I didn't know this could be on here. I didn't know the answers. Why? Because you didn't have good attendance. Now, this is what I'll even say this even more on a carnal and worldly level. Think about TV shows and movies. You know, you know what drives me crazy? Pet peeve of mine. You ready for this? You got a little look into your pastor's life. When I'm at a movie and I see somebody get up and leave during a movie, I'm like, what is wrong with you? You're going to miss, like, it matters in life, but I'm like hurting for them, and I want to like, sit down. You're going to miss this, right? Courtney knows, don't go anywhere, because I'm not filling you in when you come back. You sit here and you listen to this, but think about it. If you miss 20 minutes or 10 minutes of a movie, you say, I was a popcorn, you go out there and the line's long. And you miss 10 minutes of the movie, you might come back and have no clue what's going on. Now, I don't know if this is a good show or a bad show. I started watching it in the beginning. This was in 2004, 2 years after I was born again. It probably, knowing me back then, it was probably a bad show. Still pretty carnal back then. But you ever hear the show Lost? It was from 2004, 2010. I only saw the first few episodes, but I know this. I watched it, kind of got into it in the beginning, and then something happened. I didn't see it for a few weeks. I didn't have good attendance to the show Lost, and I came back, and the only thing that was lost was me. From that point on, I had no idea. That show was like twists and turns all over the places, right? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, that's what that show was. It was like every week, and if you missed 1 or 2 weeks, it was like you had, and that's the way it is with the Word. Think about not only, now this, I'm talking more about your attendance in church to hear the Word. Do you know this is where you get your mail delivered? This is where your mail gets delivered. When your pastor, okay, now again, I know people have life, and I know things come up, but I still have to tell you the truth. When your pastor that you're called to be under, who his job is to feed you, you know, a sheep has a shepherd, right? And the shepherd may put out food and different things. It's the shepherd's job to keep feeding. It's the sheep's job to make sure they come and eat it. But the shepherd just keeps feeding, regardless if the sheep want to eat or not, right? And when there's church going on, and this is why I thank God for live stream, we have no excuses to not get caught up. Now, we have to understand, right, the live stream is not a substitution for church. Paul said this, he said, I desire that I may see you, that I may impart something spiritual unto you, a spiritual gift unto you. There's something about the face-to-face connection. You know, a shepherd is amongst the sheep, amongst the flock. He sees them. He knows what's going on. He sees their wounds, sees their problems, can see their faces, can be around them to sense. That's why my pastor always would say, I love when you're in my services, Pastor Mike, because then I can see your face. I can pick up on your life. You know, if I stay distance, he's not able to sense some things. Like, same for me. But think about it now. Think of like a message we preached on Sunday. I'm just using Sunday because it was the closest one we had. Where we told people the prescription, right, for their problems. Imagine somebody that doesn't hear that and doesn't know it on their own. They could miss a week, come back the next week, and have a problem that could have been taken care of the next week, the last week, but they missed it because they didn't have good attendance, right? Now, that doesn't mean when you miss, shame on you, but catch up on what you missed. See, because what's being said from this pulpit, if I'm your pastor, is always relevant to your life, is always what you specifically need. Why? I'm your shepherd. I know what you need to eat by following the Holy Ghost. So when you miss, it's not enough just to say, well, just one day. Then they'll get on live stream or find out somebody's notes and get filled in, because what was said was meant for this sheepfold, and if you're part of the sheepfold, it was for you. Doesn't mean don't go on vacation. Doesn't mean emergencies come up or things happen. Those things happen. We get that. But make sure you find out, because something was said that will change your life.
Amen.
That might be relevant when a pop quiz comes up. A pop financial quiz. Or, you know what, you understand what I'm saying? And that's not to get anybody into condemnation. That's just telling the truth.
Amen.
That's just telling the truth. Hallelujah. So make sure you do it. And notice that all three, now we're closing here, all three passages have one thing in common. A steady, constant feeding. And now I know what your mind wants to do. Day and night, what am I, a monk? Am I going to just sit there with the word 24/7, quit my job, Pastor Mike? What do you think I am? I'm not a pastor. I mean, I literally make my living being in the word and prayer. That's my job, and that's pretty stinking awesome. Just so you know. By the way, it's awesome. I love it. I just think it's great. I get to spend time with God and live life. It's neat. Praise the Lord. But it didn't just say for the pastors and the ministers, day and night. But I also know that you have normal jobs, right? Secular jobs out there that are not spending time around the Bible. But there's things you can do to incorporate this into your life. And I'm going to be talking about this next week with the prayer thing that will help you. But I so appreciate what Smith Wigglesworth said about praying. He said, I never go 15 minutes. I never pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I never go 15 minutes without praying. What's he saying? It's not about chunking this huge amount of time off. It's about a steady, consistent relationship. Dr. Webb said something on the bear hunt that was just awesome. And we did this in the bear hunt. Dr. Webb said this. He said, you know, I was trying to get in some better physical shape. And my schedule, you know, travel ministry, so I just didn't have a whole lot of time to block off a big chunk of time in this life, in this certain season in his life, to go to the gym. You know, he wasn't trying to make excuses, just the way he was, busy, going. And he said, and so what I started to do is when I would think about it, I would just drop down and maybe do, you know, 20 to 50 push-ups or do some sit-ups or just do a quick stint of 5-minute cardio and just do those things throughout the day. And he started to lose weight and get healthier. And he saw, man, a little bit of it's better than nothing, right? Incorporating a little bit is, and throughout the day he found that work. But the Lord said, what about if you did that spiritually? And he was talking to him about prayer, but he was saying, you know, we get in our minds this works mentality where we think, okay, I'm not going to be worthy, and I'm not going to hear from heaven unless I block off this 2-hour section of time every night. And if I'm not praying in tongues for, you know, an hour to 2 hours every single night, then I'm just going to be less and not going to hear from God. No, that's just not true. There are seasons of extended prayer, and there are seasons of extended things like that. But what if, and so we incorporate this on the bear hunt. He said, so for here's what we're going to do. When anybody in this bear camp thinks of it, he says, we're going to drop down and give God 20 in the spirit. And what he meant by that is we're going to pray in tongues for a minute, all of us together. See, if you did that throughout the day, right, at the end of the day, you'd have a whole lot of minutes praying in tongues. And it doesn't sound hard to pray. So we would all be just sitting there doing the bear hunt, and somebody would say, okay, let's drop down and do it. And we just all take off praying in the spirit for a minute. See, even if you're praying that short of a time, what the Word says about it is still being accomplished.
Yeah.
And when you're just feeding on the Word, if you could just make little changes in your life, what are some little changes that you can do? Maybe you could set your alarm for 5 minutes earlier just for the purpose to read your Bible, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you did that, if you weren't doing that now, and you did that every single day for a year, what's 365 times 5 minutes? That's that much more feeding you got in a year than you didn't get, right?
Yeah.
Or what if you had a certain cue in your life where, okay, every time Smith Wigglesworth would eat, he'd pull out his little pocket Bible. He said, if I'm going to feed myself naturally, I'm going to feed myself spiritually. What if you just had a verse that you were meditating on? Sometimes I'll spend hours or weeks in just one verse, just meditating, feeding myself off that thing. What if you had a cue? Every time you sit down to eat, you pull out your little card or you pull out your little pocket Bible and you say, okay, I'm going to spend a couple minutes before I eat feeding my spirit. My goodness, if you did that for 3 meals a day and a 5 minutes before you wake up, we're not talking about big chunks of time, but add it up, you're feeding your spirit. You know, I don't know how proven the science is, but I know this. From a lot of things that I've read, articles from people that have, what's the word, they're reliable sources, and from nutritionists that I've talked to and people in fitness, they talk about having, instead of, you know, maybe you block off 3 big meals a day, maybe eating five to six smaller meals throughout the day, that they say that that's better for you. Well, what about if we did that spiritually? You know, it's not about If you want to spend 2 hours in the Word, praise God, you'll be stronger for it. And you'll be stronger for praying that long. But gosh, don't beat yourself up to the point where it keeps you out of doing it all together because you don't feel worthy when you do it for 5 minutes. No, anything, if you always approach it with, I'm already as loved as I'm ever going to be, it's just going to bless me more than see, because condemnation and religion will squash that thing. It'll kill it, and you'll get in there for 5 minutes, and you'll be beating yourself up. You know, you had a long day. I mean, a little bit is better than nothing. It's better than nothing, praise God. So make effort. Think about your life, and we'll close with this. Think about your own life individually. And if you're here with a spouse tonight, don't you be thinking about the other person and, oh God, that message was for you. That's not right. That's not love. And we all should be, instead of pointing the finger at somebody else and be thinking wrong thoughts, we should be building them up and encouraging them and helping them to do better.
Amen.
And so think about your own life and now compare it to natural eating. And I want you to ask yourself this question right now. If I ate physically as much as I eat spiritually, how would my body be? Ask yourself that question right now. If I ate as much physically as I feed spiritually, what would happen to my body? And if you can say, oh, it probably wouldn't be pretty. Oh, it probably wouldn't be good. Then you know you need to make an adjustment. So let's look at our lives now and think, where can I make small adjustments? Where can I put maybe somewhere in the morning if I'm getting ready and you know, I'm going to say ladies because I just know my wife takes her a lot longer to get ready and she's looking in the mirror a lot longer than I am. What if you put like a 3x5 card of something you're going through or a word and you're sitting there doing your hair, doing your makeup and you're looking at that thing and you're seeing the word. What are you doing? You're feeding yourself. What about driving time? Oh my gosh, you could turn your car into a Bible school. I mean, you could get, for me, like I drive hours to my job. I sit there and just put Brother Hagin on or Pastor Nancy and my pastor, and I'm just getting fed and stuffed with the Word. You could do that, right? Maybe laying there at night, 10 minutes before bed, you could put a sermon on it, a portion of a sermon. What are some things you can do that you're making sure to get yourself fed? Because I know this, as busy as we get, we might skip a meal because we get so busy and maybe we miss lunch, but most likely we're then eating a huge dinner. Or maybe we miss breakfast because we don't have time and then lunch is bigger. We're never going all this time. And so what can we do to make sure, because we make sure we get our natural sustenance, what can we do to make sure we get our spiritual sustenance? Because if we don't, it's going to be hard to be blessed and hard to be used. Amen? Well, hopefully this all made sense and not a condemnational way. It made it practical and simple for you and encourage you that, hey, just start making some little changes, whatever it is and however that is for your own life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word. We love the Word. We got fed tonight, Father. We just had a big old meal. We're good. This is good. Our spirits needed this, Father. And Lord, it's not enough to just get 2 snacks a week. You know what I mean by that is Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Well, that wouldn't be enough naturally. And I know myself, I'd start getting headaches, I'd start getting weak. And I don't want to be that way spiritually. Father, there's too many people that need me. There's too many people that need these people. We need to be strong. We need to be like Navy SEALs spiritually. Well fed, well trained, ready to be used and set out onto the spiritual battlefield. And Father, it'll never happen without the proper nutrients from the Word of God. So we thank you, Father. We're going to make some small adjustments. Not because you're mad at us, not because we're in condemnation, but because, Lord, it's something that we need. So we thank you for the Word, Father. We bless you tonight. Let's thank him for the good meal that he prepared for us. How rude would it be to not tell grandma or mama or daddy cooks it, whoever cooks it? It'd be so rude to not tell them thank you. So thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We praise you for the Word we got tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an awesome rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You are dismissed.